Welcome to Come and Reason with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Tim Jennings. Together we will reason through complex issues to find evidence-based answers that harmonize scripture, science, and our life experiences. I'm your Come and Reason host, Charles Mills. This program is sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. Welcome, everyone. The fires of September 11, 2001 were still burning when people began to ask a very pointed question. Why does God allow such things to happen? Why do bad things happen to good people? Today we begin a series of programs designed to answer those questions. Dr. Jennings reads from his book, Could It Be This Simple? And we're about to identify some of the seen and unseen casualties of war. Let's listen.
In his anger, Frank radiated an undercurrent of seething rage that seemed about to erupt like a volcano at the slightest provocation, an illusion reinforced by his red hair and face. As his anger rose, his face reddened like a thermometer. At 6 feet 2 inches and weighing 350 pounds, he tended to be somewhat intimidating to those around him. Because his angry outburst often caused him great problems at work, his employer suggested that Frank seek help dealing with his anger in order to avoid losing his job. When he first visited me, Frank was guarded and reluctant to open up. After several sessions, however, he painfully disclosed that his uncle had molested him when he was 6 years old. Since that time, confused about his sexuality and wondering if he were gay, he had struggled to find himself. Such doubt had led to his hating himself and constantly ridiculing himself in his own mind. So offensive was the possibility that he was gay that he repeatedly stated he would prefer to kill himself rather than pursue such a lifestyle. Frank loathed himself for having such confused feelings and was angry with God for allowing him to be abused. He blamed the Lord for the confusion over his sexuality and struggled to find some answers as to why God would allow innocent children to suffer. His hatred toward God and himself was so severe that he developed a cynical attitude, trusting no one and ridiculing everyone. Constantly finding fault with others, he responded with irritation if anyone attempted to be friendly. He actively pushed most people away, especially if there was any hint of attraction. Though terrified of intimacy, he complained bitterly of his lonely life and his deep craving for a wife and family. The man was confused, hurt, angry, and lost. We began to explore these issues in light of God's principles of truth, love, and freedom. Frank needed to be able to make sense of his life, to develop an understanding of a situation that was reasonable and healthy and would promote healing. He believed that if God really were love, then he would never allow anyone to abuse children. Whether he realized it or not, he was asking the age-old question, why does a loving God allow so much pain? The only way to answer this question adequately is to take the largest view possible. We must put the issue in its proper context, which is war. Not a struggle between local governments or even a global conflict. No, this conflict involves the entire universe, and our planet is the battleground. The forces involved have been battling for millennia, and the issues at stake are love, freedom, and individuality. Not fought with power and might or bullets and tanks or flaming swords and lightning bolts, rather it is a battle about two methods, two principles, two motives, between the principles of selfishness and love. It is in the context of this universal conflict that we must look for our understanding to these difficult questions. During World War II, the United States sent many of its young men to fight for freedom in Europe and Asia. Did it surprise anyone that many of our soldiers were shot at, wounded, and killed? No one found that unexpected or startling. Thus, no one demanded, why do bad things keep happening to our troops? We realized that we were at war with an enemy determined to kill our soldiers. In a similar way, we on this planet battle an enemy determined to wound and destroy as many of us as he can. The Apostle Peter reminds us of our need to be alert. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. 1 Peter 5:8. But while our opponent seeks to destroy us, it is God's goal to save us. If God is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. But if, in fact, God is on our side, why do bad things still strike his friends? Why does he let it happen? If he is all-powerful, then why does he not intervene to prevent such painful things? First, this struggle is not simply a question of who has the most might. Satan has never claimed to have more power than God. The Bible reminds us that the devils believe and tremble, James 2:19. Aware of the divine power, Satan knew that it was futile to attempt to overthrow God by force. Therefore, he has sought to turn us away from God by intimating that the Lord abuses his power and that we do not have freedom. As we have seen in earlier chapters, the law of liberty respects individuality. When anything violates the law of liberty, love is destroyed. Satan misrepresents God as abusive in an attempt to instill revulsion against him, thus erasing love and inciting rebellion. But God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, not to condemn it, but to save it. In other words, he sent his Son to reveal his love for us and thus awaken love in our hearts. Love cannot be won by force. Only by love is love awakened. God sent his Son to demonstrate that even when God's own life is on the line, the principles of love and freedom are too important to violate. Christ would not use his power to save himself on the cross. Why? Because to do so would prove Satan right, that God is an arbitrary, capricious deity who utilizes his power to manipulate his own ends. In such a universe, love and freedom would not exist. But Christ revealed just the opposite, that with God we have real freedom. The Lord respects our freedom so much that he would die rather than force us to comply with his way. But with true freedom comes great risk, those of rebellion and abuse. In the aftermath of the World Trade Center and Pentagon attacks, with new threats of terrorism daily in the news, people long more than ever for a land free from fear, crime, and the abuse of freedom, a land that will not need armies to chase down terrorists or police to patrol the streets. Such a place will exist only if it is inhabited by people who have freely chosen to cooperate with God for the healing of their minds. The universe will be safe only when inhabited by individuals who value and practice the methods of love and liberty. Only those who have cooperated with God for the restoration of his image within will be saved, because only those who have been healed will make safe neighbors. God therefore allows individuals to develop their characters here on earth in accordance with the free exercise of individual will. If he were to intervene in someone's mind to force that individual to choose a particular act, if he were to intervene in someone's mind to force that individual to choose a particular act, then that person would no longer be a free being, but a divinely controlled automaton. Such an individual would be unable to love and would be limited to carrying out programmed commands. What God wants cannot be achieved by using might and power. Trust can be restored only by revealing truth in love and then leaving people free to conclude for themselves what they should do about it. The law of liberty requires that all must decide for themselves which methods they prefer. It is in the choosing of the right that we cooperate with God for the transformation of our hearts and minds. But all too often, we have become so entrenched in unhealthy behaviors or relationships that we are unable to recognize the truth. Therefore, as a good parent, God will discipline those he loves in an attempt to awaken their minds to the danger they are in. Trials often occur to help us see more clearly the unhealthy things in our lives so that we might choose to change them. As one of my colleagues has said, pain is fertilizer for the soul. It is during difficult times that we often experience the greatest growth. They reveal our true character and bring our defects to light, giving us the opportunity for healing and growth. Consider the following biblical texts. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. James 1:2-4. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer griefs of all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. 1 Peter 1:6-7. For you, O God, tested us. You refined us like silver. Psalm 66:10. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Revelation 3:19. What do these passages mean? Imagine that you've been in an automobile accident and have broken your leg. The doctor has set the bone, and now it's time for physical therapy. What do you think the physical therapy would feel like? Would the healing process involve pain? Now consider a woman who has endured sexual abuse as a child and has entered psychotherapy to heal the damage she incurred. Again, would the therapy be painful? We are sick. Because our minds are defective, we find ourselves drawn to destructive methods of coping and relating. The healing process is painful. But if, after breaking your leg, you engage in physical therapy, will the pain diminish and your strength and autonomy return? If the woman abused as a child works through her abuse in therapy, will the pain also diminish and will her character become healthier? God understands that healing involves pain. He too suffered in order to heal his universe. Without his personal sacrifice, he could not restore peace and health to his universe. But why did God have to make such a sacrifice? How does his pain heal the universe? Why was Christ's death necessary? Because nothing else could win us back to complete trust while securing the universe from future rebellion. Love cannot be forced. Our love must be freely given. In order to love God, we must come to know him. In our fallen state, we had lost sight of his true character and methods. Satan's distortions had darkened our minds. Only the revelation of the divine character could remove Satan's misrepresentations. And only one equal to God could accurately reveal that character. Christ came as God in human flesh to roll back the darkness in which Satan had enveloped the world. The Savior's life and death refute the lies Satan has told about God and vindicate his character and govern it before humanity and the onlooking universe. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Colossians 1:19-20. Christ himself stated that his mission was to reveal the Father's character to humanity in order to restore God's love into our hearts. In his final prayer to his Father before his crucifixion, Jesus stated, "I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them." John 17:26. Jesus died to demonstrate that even though God has absolute power, he would never use it to restrict individual liberties, that we have real freedom in his government. Perhaps you've encountered the adage that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. The cross of Christ, however, reveals that God is not corrupt, even though he has absolute power. Think about this. The all-powerful God, who could use his power to force his way, instead grants us real freedom to make our own choice. He actually respects the individuality and freedom of his intelligent creatures. Could anything be more glorious than this?
Dr. Tim Jennings, reading from his book, Could It Be This Simple? We're going to pick up right where we left off on our next broadcast. Be sure to tune in. In the meantime, check out the many resources available to you at commonreason.com. Books, videos, blogs, sharing tracks, all designed to help us understand who God is and how God acts. That's commonreason.com. This program was sponsored by Common Reason Ministries. Until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, wishing you God's presence in your life. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for spending time with us today. To continue the journey, I urge you to visit comeandreason.com. Here you'll find many excellent resources to help you gain a deeper understanding of the God we all love and serve. That's at comeandreason.com. This is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, inviting you to join us the next time we come and reason together.